streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values. To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
The Favorites podcast is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. They're America's number one sportsbook with an easy-to-use app that's safe and secure. And when I win, I get paid out in as little as 2 hours. And this season, FanDuel Sportsbook is making betting easy for everyone. With great promos like risk-free bets, enhanced odds markets, same-game parlays, and more. So if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and sign up with promo code FAVORITES so they know I sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text Next Step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789 or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast from the Volume Podcast Network. I am Chad Millman, very special college football playoff Service Academy Bonanza episode. I'm joined, as always, by my BFF, my companion, my compadre, Mr. Simon Hunter, and very special guests from the Action Network, our All Everything analyst, Mr. Stuckey, the one named Wonder, and of course, college football podcasting superstar, king of the SEC, the Volume's shiniest, brightest light, J-Boy. What's up, J-Boy?
What's up, man? Really honored to be back. Appreciate that intro and your checks in the mail, Chad. I just hope I got the address right.
Well, we can confer after to make sure that it's right, because these things get more expensive every single time. Stock, I want to start with you. You are a Service Academy loyalist. You have always loved betting Service Academy games. You seem to have a bead every year on how these games are going to play out. We've got a very special Service Academy game, Army-Navy, on Saturday. How are you thinking about it right now?
Yeah, I remember going to this game, you know, when it used to be in Philly, when growing up. I grew up outside of Philly, and my dad would take me. And I remember Bill Clinton, when he was president. I was really young, so I can barely remember. But Bill Clinton came into our section, and then Secret Service had to come and clear it first. That was my first memory of this game. But yeah, I love this game every year. I love the Service Academy teams when they play each other, because it's such a unique game. For those who aren't familiar with Service Academy football teams, they play the triple option. And the reason they do that is they're not getting the same caliber athletes and recruits that some of these, you know, Power Five schools and even other schools get. So their competitive advantage now is they play this unique style that on a week-to-week basis, when they go and play someone, they're not used to seeing the triple option. And it's all about, you know, discipline, and yeah, it's just a different offense that you have to see. And it's kind of like a shock to your system for defenses. But when they play each other, they have all the familiarity in the world with it, because they practice against each other every day of the year. So they're practicing against the triple option defense, and they know how to cover it. They know the assignments. They know how to stay disciplined, who gets the pitch man, who gets the running back, and, you know, all the motion and how to defend the fullback dive. So when they play each other, a lot of times, especially Army Navy, these are really low scoring games, because, you know, number one, they're running it the entire game, both teams. So the clock's always running. They're going for a lot of fourth downs. So it's like fourth and one. Hey, we'll go for it. Just get 2 yards, and then you keep going and going and going. And then it's really hard to score, because both teams are familiar with the other offense and they know how to defend it. So you get these rock fights, and I love them. And that's the reason why Army Navy has gone under the total 15 straight years. And if you bet all Service Academy, so Army, Navy, Air Force, whenever they play each other every year, unders and Service Academy games are 38-10, just under 80% since 2005. So that's why betting Army Navy is fascinating.
Well, I will tell everybody the total right now is 36.5. Army is a 7.5 point favorite. It opened at 8. Shea boy, like, I would love to know, as someone who is steeped in the SEC, why the fuck would you care about Army Navy?
You know, the tradition of the game, I think it's a top five rivalry in sports just because of the cachet. And it's kind of, you know, like going to the place you always go to eat, but ordering something you've never ordered before. Like, you go to the place and you always order a type sandwich. You go in there one day, you're like, you know what? I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to get something different. That's what this game's going to give you. Because, I mean, Stuckey's right. The biggest thing for Army and Navy, they can't go get the 6'5", 300-pound offensive lineman. Number one, a lot of those guys don't fit in submarines or planes. You know, I guess David Robinson fit in a submarine, so that may kill that theory. But they're not able to go get the guys you see that can pass pro against, you know, legitimate four-down teams, legitimate three-down teams that bring pressure. And the triple option is tough. It's a built-in advantage because, like Jay-Z said, less is more, man. There's plenty of us. The less guys that are running a certain type thing, the more exotic that thing is. And betting these games are tough because, you know, the rivalry game, they're both going to get up for it. They hear about it all year. You know, for example, you look at the way Auburn got up for Alabama and how they played Alabama compared to the way that Georgia did. There was extenuating circumstances there. But, you know, I look at this game. Navy has had one of their least talented teams that I've seen under Coach Cannon up there. That, you know, played well against Cincinnati, but they're not able to really consistently move the ball. They're not able to hit home runs with the quarterback like they were with Keenan Reynolds and some guys in the past. You know, the system they run, you know, you go 9, 10, 11, 12 plays, but in the past, Navy's been able to quick strike you with guys that can move. But Army's a better team. Having said that, I like Navy plus 7.5 because I think it is going to be a rock fight. I think it's going to be low scoring. Navy's going to get up for this game. So I like Navy plus 7.5. But, you know, you bet it because we hadn't had a game in a while, too, it feels like. And it's the only one. So, hell, you know, if you like betting college football, there it is.
Simon, Is it a DeGen special?
Yeah. And like Stucky said, it's a blind under every year. Even if they made it 30, I might still think about betting the under. It's at that point now where every year, every pro I talk to is like, no, this is the year it's probably going to go over. And it's like, why go against the trend? Just keep betting the under. Don't overthink it. Don't try to be the smartest one. The rest of our lives, this is a bet I'll always make. I'll always bet the under. Doesn't matter if they hit the over 5 straight years. I'm just going to keep riding this trend. It's at the point now where you just said it's 80% over the last couple of years. Just the Navy, Air Force, Army matchups just always tend towards lean the under. So the fact you're getting 36 now, it's a gift. I saw some books had it down at 34.
I love when Philly guys like Simon and Stucky talk about a game being a rock fight. Because I feel like Philly guys have probably been in rock fights. They know literally what that is like.
Yeah, I would say the closest we get is we would play football on the street, tackle football. So not anyone's front yard. You would just go in the street and play football. That was definitely the closest I came to a rock fight.
Yeah, y'all booed Santa Claus, man.
We threw batteries at him.
I know. And it wasn't the power of the sleigh.
Snowballs filled with batteries at New York football Giants on the sidelines one year, yep. Too.
Yeah. And just to close out the Army-Navy discussion, I do like Navy plus 7.5 as well. Look, the market's starting to catch up to this. We're talking about it. People have been talking about it. The average over-under from 2005 to 2018 was 50. The last 3 years, it's down to 37. If the total was 35 in all the Army-Navy games, the under would have only went 7-9. The market's starting to get close. I make it 33. There's going to be a lot of wind. And the Army could actually throw it a little bit now. But so I think that hurts their passing game.
All right. There are actual college football playoff lines out right now. Even though the game's not for another 3 weeks, there is an opportunity sort of in the first few days to make a play. And then the lines settle in for a while. Stuck looking at this, Georgia 8.5 over Michigan, Alabama 2 touchdowns over Cincy, total 44.5, Georgia, Michigan 58, Alabama, Cincy. Have you made any bets on these games? Where do you see the greatest value so far?
I did play Cincinnati. A couple books put it out at 16.5, which I thought was crazy. That was way too high. So I got a little bit down there, settled a little bit at 14. You can get a little bit more. I played 14 on Cincinnati. I think that number is too high as well. Alabama looked phenomenal against Georgia, playing for everything. But we've seen Alabama this year. I think it's mainly because of their young offensive line and secondary. They've been very inconsistent. You know, you see them 1 week, they look unstoppable. The next week, you know, they look like, oh, wow, they barely escaped Auburn. They barely escaped LSU. They barely escaped Florida. So I think this is too many points, especially when you consider that John Metchie, their you know, leading receiver, who has 96 catches on the year, is going to be out for this game. They don't really have a third receiver, and they haven't really needed one. But someone else is going to have to step up besides Jameson Williams. And the difference, what I think the difference between Cincy and Georgia – Georgia got no pressure on Alabama, number one, which is the most surprising aspect, that Alabama offensive line played well. But Cincinnati has a much better secondary than Georgia. They have the best corner in the country, in my opinion, Ahmad Gardner, is probably going to go in the top 10 in the NFL draft, who's given up 0 touchdowns in over 1,000 snaps. He's given up 117 yards total on the year. He takes away one side of the field. So, you know, and Kobe Bryant is also going to be playing in the NFL at corner. So, like that. I mean, their secondary is excellent. So, I think Cincinnati secondary can hang here. They're going to need some flukes to win the game, but I think 2 touchdowns is too much. I think this line should be closer to 10.
When I'm looking at Cincinnati, Bama, my biggest thing when I look at this game and at 14, I'm going to take Bama minus 14 for a couple reasons. Cincinnati, I agree. Stucky, Sauce Gardner is one of the most talented corners in the country. I don't think he's seen Jameson, though. And I'm wondering and assuming he's probably going to follow him around, especially now that Mechie's out. The biggest thing that having Mechie out hurts Bama is now they can bracket Jameson Williams a whole heck of a lot easier without having to worry about getting their pants pulled down on the back end. You can only bracket so many people. But the difference to me is and will always be up front and at the tight end position. You know, it's a game of matchups. It'll always be a game of matchups. You look at Latu, a guy that I think has snuck under the radar this year, showed up big against Miami. He's made some big plays, kind of disappeared in the middle of the year. Saw him a little bit against Auburn, especially in the overtime, but his blocking has gotten so much better throughout the year. Billingsley is a matchup problem. I mean, a guy that's over 6'4", 215 pounds, that can put outside and go win the jump ball. But I love the inside and I love the seam. You know, Cincinnati's pretty good in the back end. You know, I would say when you look at them and Georgia from a draft standpoint, Sauce is obviously going to be the first guy that goes. But I think depth wise, Georgia has them there. And I don't think Cincinnati's seen anything like Alabama. I mean, they struggled with Navy. You struggle with Tulsa and with game day there. But the game always comes down to up front for me. And I don't think Cincinnati is going to be able to get pressure on Bryce Young. And when they do, I don't think they'll be able to get him down. Brian Robinson's going to be healthier. Jace McClellan is a guy that is looking to get back, that was leading Alabama in touchdowns before he got hurt. And if Cincinnati can't stop the run, you got to start robbing Peter to pay Paul in the box. And when you do that against Alabama with a guy like Bryce Young that can extend plays, they are going to hit big plays, whether it's on crossers, whether it's hitting back shoulders for chunk plays, 15, 25. And then when they get in the red zone, you're going to see the tight end in that play action game and Bryce's running ability, which if you watch Bryce throughout the year, he's gotten so much more economical and more efficient in the run game. You know, we do the show with them every Monday. And one thing that he's talked about is understanding, hey, when they're in man and their back's turned and I can escape up through the pocket, I need to start going more because it just hits such a built-in advantage against the defense because you're playing with less than a hat really than the offense when you look at it truly with what Bryce can do. So I do like Alabama. Then defensively, you getting Chris Allen back. I don't think Cincinnati will be able to consistently drive the ball on Alabama's defense. I don't know if they can protect Will Anderson. I don't know if the National Guard could protect if Will Anderson really wanted to get in there. So I do like Bama. I love their physicality. Nick Saban, they may not get up sometimes for regular season games, and they haven't this year with a young team. But if you look, they made some movement and some decisions on the offensive line. McLaughlin moving guys around and found something they liked. And if you can block Georgia, I promise you can block Cincinnati. I think Nick wants to make a statement. They're still using the underdog role, even though they're number one, because at the end of the day, Nick Saban is Master Splinter.
Dad, it was just a couple weeks ago. We had J-Boy on. We had Colin on. And I sat here, I looked at the camera, I said, take Bama. It was plus 600 national championship.
You did say that.
They're in the Final Four. It feels like you're at the point now where it's the SEC's, you know, title to lose. Georgia's favorite, big favorite. Bama's a big favorite. We know the public's going to be coming in on Michigan. We know the public's going to be coming in on Cincy. It's going to be interesting watching these lines move up and down this upcoming week. Jay, but do you feel like it's the SEC's title to lose? I mean, the way these matchups are we due for a Bama-Georgia rematch?
Look, I know that's what the sponsors want. you know, that's I guarantee you that's what they want. But yeah, look, and again, look, Cincinnati's a great story to me. But you know what else is a great story? Little Red Riding Hood. And I'd pick Bama to beat them too. And I've got a ton of respect for Luke Fickell. He's going into the Power 5 in the Big 12, and the sky's the limit for that guy. He's an unbelievable coach. But again, look, Bama's still pissed. That's the thing. As a guy that grew up in Auburn, Alabama, I know when Bama's pissed. I can see pissed Bama, and they have been inconsistent. But I think they're starting to put it together, and they show up for these games. Nick Saban shows up for these postseason games. And you got tons of time with Bill O'Brien, who is literally the Wizard of Oz, the more time you give him. But looking at Georgia, I think this is a horrible matchup for Michigan. You're not going to go 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plays consistently on Georgia. And Cade McNamara is not going to throw you to wins. Cade McNamara and Stetson Bennett, I swear, are the same person. Just like Jameson Williams and Jaylen Waddle, I swear, are the same person. Michigan's got good players, but I don't think they're going to be able to score enough against Georgia. And Georgia, I think, is going to be able to hit enough plays. George Pickens coming back is huge for the one-on-one, especially inside the red zone. You're going to get Georgia and Bama just because gravity's gravity, man.
Stuck, you get the final word.
Yeah, I just think we're having too much recency bias with this Alabama team. They aren't the Alabama team of last year that was historically great. There's a reason this team – you're telling me they didn't show up to play Auburn, their rival?
No. Well, Auburn-Alabama, man. I mean, you can throw the records out. I mean, that's fighting your brother.
All right. Yeah, they showed up for that game. So, since Alabama are going to show up for this game. LSU, I mean, they should have lost that game. They went 20-14 against that and beat up and just completely ravaged LSU team. They, you know, are – beat an Arkansas team that gets shut out by a couple opponents and have to beat them 42-35 at home. This is the team that should have lost to Florida. It was outplayed by what turned out to be a bad Florida team. This team has not been consistent all year. they have a lot of talent, so we see flashes. And then the next week, it's like, oh, what's wrong with this team? They lose to Zach Calzada. You make Zach Calzada look good. No one did that all year except Alabama. It was 41-38 at Texas A&M. It takes four games for Texas A&M to score that many points. So this team is just – we're so much recency bias. Last week, it was Georgia – and I didn't like Georgia last week, but it was Georgia minus 6.5. Georgia's going to kill Alabama. Alabama has one good performance. It's one game. And now everyone just says, oh, Alabama.
Well, I don't think you can use the term recency bias with Nick Saban, who's dominated the sport going on a decade. I mean, if that's recency bias, then I don't know, you know, why would we look in the past about anything? Why do we look at trends? I don't think you can compare Texas A&M with Navy or SMU. If you give Alabama that schedule, they're pulling everybody's pants down probably by 25 to 35. And this isn't a one-off. Hey, we're playing in the Meineke Car Care Bowl and eight of our starters are opting out. You're going to get the full weight of it. And, you know, the Georgia-Bama game, to me, that's been the biggest hump for Georgia. I had Georgia winning that game. I thought they'd win 7 to 10 points. It's amazing they keep getting up and blowing it, whether it's halftime or getting up 10-0 in the first quarter. I just don't see how you can look at that SEC schedule and then look at Cincinnati's schedule and say, you know, man, I think we can compare losses. So if we're going to say that they barely beat A&M, Cincinnati barely beat Navy, who's 3-8. They beat Tulsa by what had to stop Tulsa at the goal line with game day there. And we want to compare that to an Arkansas team that won eight games and destroyed Texas, even though that seems to be a habit. So if you're talking about showing up, it's one thing if Jack Nicholson shows up to act and another thing if a B-list actor shows up to act. So I think if we're going to use bias, let's make sure we look at the draft and say, wow, the SEC's won 11 out of the last 15 national championships. They absolutely dominate the draft.
Yeah, we're not talking about winning the game. We're talking about covering 14.
No, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't.
I don't care. I was going to win the game.
No, I'm not arguing the win. I'm arguing if we're going to say recency bias, how can we say recency bias against Alabama? That's like saying, well, Leo DiCaprio's made good movies, but this next movie coming out is probably going to suck. I mean, I don't think you can use that optic when you're using Cincinnati and Bama. You can use it with Georgia and Bama, but I don't think you can use it with Cincinnati and Bama. But that's what makes it fun, and we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a market the other day. I mean, now the look ahead line for Georgia Alabama is one. I mean, it was just 6.5. It's moved 5.5 points after one game. Mm-hmm. So obviously, the public has say in this game, in this market at this time of the year. I just think that this Alabama team is nowhere close to what this team was last year, which is a historically great team. There's still lapses in the secondary in certain games. If the offensive line is going to play like it did last week all year, then yeah, the offense is going to be great. But we've seen that for one game. So I still think that this Alabama team is the second best team in the country. I still have Georgia power.
I agree with you on that. I 100% agree with you on that.
Let's end on an agreement. This is the beauty of the playing the game idea. We're going to know on the 31st, was Stuckey right? Was he right to buy 16.5? Was he right to buy 14 on Cincinnati? I don't know. Personally, I want to see Alabama, Michigan in the title game. I think that's going to be a more interesting matchup nationally than Alabama, Georgia.
Why? Why do you say that?
Michigan's a great story. To me, it's about the narrative. Michigan's a great story. Michigan's fan base is bigger.
Yeah, Northeast bias. Fuck you.
Totally true, by the way. All right. This has been the Favorites from the Volume Podcast Network. If you want more passionate college football conversation, go listen to J-Boy, also at the Volume Podcast Network. You have been getting passionate college football conversation from Big Bets on Campus, BBOC on the Action Network, all season long from Stuckey and Colin Wilson. You can watch their show along with Brett McMurphy all throughout the college football postseason at Action Network HQ on Twitter. For Stuckey, for J-Boy, for Simon Hunter, I am Chad Millman. Until next time, love you.
If you love to be remembered as the person who gives the best birthday gifts, I'm here to tell you that 1-800-Flowers.com is your ultimate birthday gifting destination. 1-800-Flowers has thoughtful and artfully created options that are guaranteed to deliver the best birthday surprise. Shop thousands of unique gifts at 1-800-Flowers.com for exclusive offers and great values.
To order today, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.